There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to another episode of Boots, Balls and Bras with the Women's Champions League special, supported by Pepsi Max with myself, Farrah Williams, and the legend, Emma Byrne. So we've finished the semi-final second leg over the weekend. Barcelona knocked out Chelsea and Lyon knocked out PSG. So we're going to start with the Saturday game, which was Chelsea at Stamford Bridge to Barcelona. Obviously, I said on the last episode, Emma, out in Barcelona, Chelsea poked the bear. Yeah. The bear was poked.
It was woken
and they turned up. You were at the game. I watched it on TV. You were at the game, sold out Stamford Bridge. So in terms of the crowd, excellent marketing from Chelsea in terms of that. But let's talk about the game. Barcelona against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I mean, I'll give my view, but you were live at the game. What was your view of it?
I would say in general, disappointing from Chelsea. That's been nice, to be quite honest. I was actually doing comms and maybe I came across a little bit pro-Chelsea, but that was only because I wanted to see Barca get challenged because we see them winning week in, week out. And Chelsea were so good in Barcelona and they set up so well. And, you know, they were the underdogs.
Yeah, for sure.
But I thought it was a little bit disappointing from Chelsea. As soon as I heard Ramirez wasn't playing, I was like, my heart sunk. I was like, that's it. Game over. Yeah. Might as well all go home.
And I feel like that was a huge difference, certainly in the way Chelsea set up tactically. I thought they got the tactics wrong a little bit, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm not going to challenge Emma. I mean, she's an absolute legend of the game. But in terms of the setup, I thought it was all wrong.
Considering
the away leg, maybe personnel didn't suit the way that they played out in Barca. But I felt right from the off, Emma, I don't know, Chelsea looked a little bit nervous. I thought they were sloppy in possession.
Yeah.
They gave away too many turnovers against a team that they know will hurt them in possession.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. It was really, really sloppy. And that was the word that kept coming to mind at halftime. So sloppy, not keeping the ball. They weren't able to stretch the game because they'd Lauren James up as the number nine. She was never going to run into those channels. And they kept putting the balls in there, which means, again, the turnover. They kept giving away possession. But like more than that, the basic stuff, like they were bumping into each other in midfield, at the back. They just looked a little bit clumsy. And maybe that was because of tiredness, because they did look physically tired and probably mentally wrecked. Like, let's be honest, it's so difficult to play a game like that and then consecutive game like that. Yeah, it was just one of those things. Barca were way better and Chelsea did nothing to help themselves.
But that's my point. In terms of like, obviously we know Lauren James' strengths and what she brings to the game. She's very good at holding the ball. She can carry the ball up the pitch. She 1v1, very strong, effective. When it comes to turning teams and running those channels and actually giving your team time to get up the pitch, I felt like she wasn't the player to do that in this particular game. When the ball went into Lauren, she slowed the game down, but players didn't get in advance of her. So they never really broke or hurt Barca in behind. When balls went into channels, she gave up on the chase. In my opinion, there were so many times where players give up on the chase and rather get back into shape. But that just allows Barca to do what Barca do well and dominate possession. I mean, they had 68% possession to Chelsea's 32, which we expected.
Yeah.
But I just felt in those turnover moments, Chelsea were too shaken. But let's talk about the opening goal, because we spoke about poking the bear. We spoke about Bonmati's comments after the game out in Barcelona, and she was the player that came up with the opening goal.
Yeah, I mean, they controlled the game like we thought they were going to. Aitana, they played a lot through the middle in the first leg, and I thought Chelsea did an excellent job stopping them doing that. What they did in this time round in London, they were playing out wide a lot, and Aitana seemed to roam a little bit more. She got on the ball a little bit more, but it was a great goal. It was a typical goal from her, like that ball threaded in from Guijarro, and then Aitana just finding that little bit of space. Like, you just cannot give her an inch.
Exactly.
I was actually going to swear there. You can't give her like an inch around the area. And then you look at like what goes on behind. You had Neve Charles closing it down. She was doing okay. Buchanan was too far off. And for me as a goalkeeper, I don't want a defender that close to me either. I'll be telling Buchanan, go to ball. We need two on Aitana. push Buchanan up, and then it gives you a little bit more time. And this is like going in like really specific detail, by the way. I do not blame Hannah Hampton for the goal, but just a little thing, like I would have pushed her up a little bit more, giving you a little bit more space as a goalkeeper, and maybe you can get that extra step in.
Well, you said it there, exactly that. A player like Bomati, and we've seen it time after time, given a little bit of space in and around the box, there's only one thing going to happen.
Yeah.
Of course, it was a deflected goal into the bottom corner. But as you said, that time and space, I felt like Chelsea were a little bit like that. They weren't passive. They tried to be aggressive in their pressing, but they just couldn't get near Barcelona. And as you said, they used a wide, like I heard you mention in commentary, and obviously the stats back it up. Badje, I think, out in Barcelona, two crosses over the 90 minutes. She probably had three within the first 15, 20
Listen,
minutes of the
Anna,
game.
Anna is way better as a left back than as a right back. She's right foot, but she's better left back. She's played there the whole season because Rolfo's been injured. And I thought it was clever by Jonathan Geraldes to put her back there and move Rolfo up just for the physicality of Rolfo as well. And Lucy Bronze brings something else to the team. Like they need, when she came on in Barcelona, she made a difference, just her experience. And yeah, I just thought in this case that Geraldes got it right, got everything right on the day.
They definitely did. There was two big chances for Chelsea in that first half. They were a goal down. There was a big chance where Nuskin cuts it back to Lauren James. On another day, she sorts her feet out and probably makes contact with it. That for me was a massive miss. And then obviously the what's her name, the centre mid, Chelsea?
Loophole,
sorry. The cutback. I know the linesman flagged after, but it was onside.
Oh, I thought it was because the ball went out.
No, it didn't go out of play. So they were flagging for offside. So I'm saying even that one.
Oh, they would have
hit the crossbar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So two big chances to get Chelsea back. And they were the only real chances Chelsea had in the game.
It was tired play, though. And even looking back at it, that's a tired miss, like to hit the bar from there, to lean back like that. But realistically, they didn't create enough over the 90 minutes. And it all goes back to how they were set up as well. Like Macario was dropping into midfield. They didn't really need her in there, to be quite honest.
That's the difference. So say, for example, Macario with her speed and probably would run the channels. Mm-hmm. You know, she comes off the left sometimes when she was that little. But could they have changed her and Lauren? Because you know Lauren's not going to run the channels. Is Lauren better in those pockets, picking up the ball, maybe finding Macario in advance? Because I felt like they lost something in those transition moments with nothing beyond and trying to stretch that Barca back line.
Listen, let me just reiterate about Ramirez and the loss of there, because I was looking at Emma Hayes at the start of the game, I was like, what's wrong? And then I realized Ramirez was injured. Like when the news came in, I was like, that's what's wrong.
Yeah
She just looked a little bit stressed, because losing Ramirez, not only do you lose being able to play it behind stretch in the game, you lose how they play out from the back. She affected literally everything in that game. And then you have two choices. You either swap like for like, can you get a runner in there? Or do you change it up and try and change how you play? If you're going to play Lauren James as a number nine and ask her to stay high, you have to play.
Yeah,
you have to try and keep possession and you have to try and build and you have to try and work up the pitch in possession. It's not a counter-attacking style of play.
Definitely not.
And I feel like the team continued to play as they did in Barcelona with Ramirez.
And that's why they changed in the second half.
Though.
But I felt like that's why they were so sloppy.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have that. They didn't have that out.
Yeah.
And as I said, I felt at times Lauren held onto the ball a little bit too long and probably went. Chelsea were quite safe. I felt like in possession, I don't know if they were rattled. Obviously, the goal unsettled them a little bit. Maybe the Ramirez, them knowing that they didn't have her in the team, unsettles players. You know what it's like, one of your star players not in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It unsettles the team a little bit. But I felt most of their play was very safe. When they got out into wide areas, there would have been a threat.
Yeah.
They didn't use the wide areas enough. Lawrence could have progressed up the left-hand side and Canard on the right-hand side. They didn't give them the ball. Don't get me wrong, I thought the quality from Canard when she did get the ball
wasn't
great. But as in the deliveries. No, I thought she got balls into the box, but I didn't think she was... There was three back-to-back.
No, she, the first
the
couple,
quality,
I was like,
bit
she
like,
has
come on.
To do better, absolutely. Yeah.
But they could have used that more. That was a weapon for them. That was certainly, in my opinion, an out.
She was very good on the ball and carrying the ball. I think it was a really interesting battle between her and Rolfo. And I think the reason Rolfo was playing higher was to stop her. I thought she did excellent in Barcelona. So yes, they could have brought her in. They could have brought Erin Cuthbert in. I mean, she is the player for them. They weren't really playing through her at all. But it just goes back to we're missing that player, but you have to change it. Okay, no problem. We're going to keep the ball a little bit more in midfield. You know, we're going to try and build up through there. And they didn't do that. And but like we were talking about this earlier, if I'm Lauren James, and I know she's young, she's not that young anymore, though. If I have all her attributes and I don't want the ball in there, yeah. I'm telling them, what are you putting it in there for?
Yeah,
I want it to my feet.
Mm.
But you could see that they were still trying to do
disconnected,
it.
Disconnected, weren't they?
And I'd be having words with my, like, players need to get involved in that as well.
I felt like they didn't want to show that, like, I mean, but we would show that frustration. Like, if I was getting a ball in the chat, I'm not a runner.
But this doesn't happen anymore. Like,
but I'm saying, I felt like you could feel Lauren's frustration because the balls that they were playing were like, you know, maybe 60-40 in passes, 30 into the channel. Lauren's going to give up on the chase. You could see her frustration, but you also, she didn't want to show that. But when you know, like, we know her, so we know that you can see with a little bit in her. But in a game that big, they don't really want to be kicking off on each other and whatever. And that's how it felt.
No, absolutely. But, like, you can be animated on the pitch. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're coming up with a solution and it's not just, like, giving out and throwing your hands, like, throwing your toys out of the pram. Come up with a solution. Listen, I don't want those balls in there. Yeah. I want them to my feet. So next time when you look up, I'm going to show in there to my feet. Just give it in there and I'll go get it. Like, it's not difficult, but I don't think there was enough of that, really, like, problem solving on the pitch.
I think the game's lost that a little bit. But I don't know if you agree, Emma, but I just felt like over the two legs, it showed the level of Barcelona to Chelsea.
Oh, absolutely.
It showed the levels of where we need to get to in the WSL, not just Chelsea, but as a whole, the WSL, Manchester City and Arsenal, if they're the teams that are going to be competing next year in the Champions League, we look way off of it still.
Do you know what? I was optimistic in the first leg and I actually thought it was a really nice representation of the WSL because it was very, very physical. Mm-hmm. It shows the speed of play in the WSL. It shows that Barca aren't used to playing against this kind of competition because they're running amok in Liga F. And I was like, this is nice. This for me, I'm quite proud of the WSL in this game. And I just think that it's so difficult to maintain that level.
Isn't it?
Two games in a row, not just two games in a row, like Chelsea's had a heavy, heavy schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Barca like can change their whole team week in, week out and still be 12 points ahead.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really good representation. And I think it's very, very close, actually. And I think, like,
you still think it is? See, I don't think it's close. I don't think it's as close as what we think it is.
I think if Ramiro was on that pitch, I think we'd be talking about something very, very different.
Potentially, but I still think in terms of a WSL team winning the Champions League, I still think we're off of it. In the next
couple of years. If being honest, looking at the other game as well, I was like blown away by the level there, PSG Lyon. But I do think Arsenal are nearly there. I think Man City are nearly there. But I said this before, it takes a good few years to actually get accustomed to the Champions League and realise the mistakes. And Barca,
they got knocked out a few years back. What was the one they that? Really
2019 4-1 against Lyon.
That hurt them. We all expected
Barca
to win.
They're still hurting over that.
Yeah, that hurt them.
They're still angry.
But look how far they've come from that. They won a Champions League last year, potentially.
Arsenal beat Barca on aggregate something like 7-1.
Mm.
Like when I was playing, so it's not like 100 years ago. Very close. So they've progressed and they'll say it took us a long time to get used to the Champions League level. And it's the same for, like, Arsenal, even though they'll be back in it next year, I don't really expect them to progress a long way or a good way through it because they'll, again, they need those couple of years to get used to it.
Right, Emma, we have to talk about the two big talking points within the game. So Barca 1-0 up, 1-1 in aggregate, and on the 60th minute, Buchanan, I think it's 59 minutes, picks up a second yellow card. What did you make of the yellow card, the second yellow?
Well, I personally didn't think it was a yellow card. I know she ended up stamping on her foot, which is normally a card, but she won the ball first. There was no intent. And I just thought it was a little bit soft, especially considering it was the second yellow. And I know that shouldn't come into it, but you're ruining the game, sending off a player. And I think that should be, you know, just... The referee should be reminded of that a little bit. And I don't think she should have been sent off, personally.
No, I agree. You know, when I first, when it was live and in the game, I'm like, never a foul.
Mm.
And then obviously you look at the replay and you could kind of see, okay, there was a little bit of a follow through, no intent behind the follow through. But when I look at the referee in terms of giving the card out, she was quick with her yellow card. I actually genuinely thought that was the first card for Buchanan.
Yeah.
I didn't actually think she knew Buchanan was already on a yellow card because there was a delay to the second yellow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The red come out a little bit of a white. So possibly. If it was a first yellow, we'd probably all stand there and go, okay, fair enough. But because it's a second yellow, 60 minutes, 30 minutes playing with 10 players against Barcelona, you've got no chance.
Yeah, no.
Best team in Europe. You've got no chance. So I think that, as I said, if it was a first booking, we'd probably sit here and accept it. But yeah. I think as a second yellow, I think it's very harsh. I mean, I think what was Emma's comments are saying, it's the worst decision in the history of the Women's Champions League. That might have been a little bit of frustration for Emma at the end of the game. They were the comments
statement.
She made, but that was the statement she made. Mm. But that obviously changed the game massively. Barca then become even more dominant in terms of with the ball. Chelsea, we already spoke about them. It was already leggy up to that moment. They've got another 30 minutes to play with 10 players. Emma did try and change it.
Yeah.
She obviously brought Guru Wright on. She brought on, what's the kid's name? Beaver Jones.
She brought Millie Bright on.
She put Millie Bright on up front. So they so they showed they tried to go for it.
Yeah.
And then obviously then we get, in my opinion, this is the harsh one, the penalty shout. That obviously wins the game for Barcelona. What was your thoughts on the actual penalty?
I didn't really think it was a penalty. And, you know, nothing against Barca. I've been getting a little bit of abuse on social media saying that I'm anti-Barca. I'm not anti-Barca. I love Barca. I love watching Barca.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But Barca should have won the game, first of all. But I think they'll be disappointed they didn't score more from open play. I don't think it was a penalty. I think, again, Chelsea were just unlucky. It was a shove from Jess Carter coming
together.
That was it.
I think once VAR, because in live play, I mean, if you nudge somebody off the ball, you're not going to give away a free kick, you're not going to give away a penalty. I felt that once the referee had given the penalty, the VAR couldn't overturn it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Because it wasn't a clear and obvious mistake, because obviously Jess Carter shoved Bonmatí into Laurent and there's contact. There's a kind of sandwich there going on.
Yeah.
So I think once the ruling of VAR, they only overturn it if it's clear and obviously wrong or right.
Yeah,
so
this is
it. Never going to get overturned, but it's a harsh penalty. Like,
it was the shove, but if Laurence wasn't there, I don't think there would have been a
problem. There's no penalty. Exactly.
So the fact is, Laurence is there. She's fine, but the shove sent her in. Bonmatí into Laurence, and then Bonmatí caught her foot.
Yeah.
It wasn't Laurence.
No, it wasn't Laurence. Laurence was like, VAR. But it's the shove.
Unlucky.
It's the shove. And I think that obviously then the shove, as you mentioned, they wanted the other defender. But that was, a penalty. And then obviously we've seen what happened. Rolfa on 75 minutes. I mean, cool, calm. Like, how cool was that? I mean,
I just knew she was going to score.
Hampton went a bit early. I think, for a goalkeeper, tell me that you can't read the body language of a player.
Listen, because with all this technology
don't
now.
Get me wrong, the penalty from Rolfa was good. It was calm.
Mm.
But her body was so open, there was only one way she was hitting that ball.
Listen,
there was only one way, Emma.
I don't like to anticipate, like I'm still playing. I didn't like to anticipate. I prefer to try and goad them in a certain way, whether it's leaning or whatever. I think that Hannah Hampton has done her research, because there's no way Emma Hayes would not allow that to happen.
No, but I think you can do your research. But I think I was a penalty taker. When I take penalties, I always used to go to my right, so the keeper's left.
Yeah,
but
because it's more natural for you to go across your body.
So only when I was training with a goalkeeper, when I was at Liverpool, and it was before the 2015 World Cup, he was saying to me, your body's too open, I can read it every time.
Mm.
You need to do something where there's more disguise to it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, as a goalkeeper, although you know there's a certain way players like to go, she was so square that you just knew it was only going one way.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, it's also Hannah Hampton's first big Champions League rodeo. Like, there was definitely a bit of nerves there, and she'll learn from a couple of things from those games as well.
Definitely. But so, yeah. But then, so obviously that seeing Chelsea lose 2-1 at Stamford Bridge, obviously exit the Champions League. So no Champions League final for Chelsea. We was hoping for a Chelsea-Lyon.
Oh, just on a positive note, though, Emma Hayes told me she really, a couple of years ago, she would love to fill out Stamford Bridge.
Oh, she did it.
She did it. She did. It was a really nice moment for her. They had loads of t-shirts and stuff for her last game there. So it was quite a nice moment as well.
They needed that. And Emma and the players were saying that, you know, in order, if they are to beat this Barca team, they need the crowd behind. And I thought the crowd were fantastic. And as you said, a sellout Stamford Bridge. We haven't seen that with the men's team this year. That's a joke, guys. But Barca progressed to the final. And then the other semi-final second leg was PSG, Lyon away to PSG, and they went into the game 3-2 up, and then we saw an early goal.
These two games
from Bacha, 3 minutes in.
It's just madness.
Lyon, and they're 1-0 up, and obviously,
I mean, I spoke about the two games for Chelsea, two consecutive games, and difficult. The two games for these two teams were so explosive. Mm. Like, it was giving me anxiety watching the game. I'm like, somebody just slow the game down a little bit. Like, no, it was end-to-end stuff. Incredible game. And your mate, De Donk, started, which I think was
huge,
a big difference.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a great battle in the midfield, to be quite honest. I was surprised with PSG that Corbin Albert didn't start. I thought she did all right. But I understand why, because they were just trying, basically they're just trying to stop Selma Bacha getting forward. And it worked for PSG. I thought they
didn't
really
work
well
in the first few minutes, though.
Do you know what? I know I'm a bit old school. I do not understand. And it's the same with Chelsea against Barca. Why, if there's a corner against, they've two on the ball, why do you only send one player out? Can you explain that to me?
I can't explain it.
It just doesn't make sense.
Because we've never done that. We've always gone two for two.
I don't care. I don't even care if you're my gaffer telling me no. We're just
send someone out.
Yeah, okay, nice one. As soon as that corner, get out there.
Yeah, you've got to.
Get off my post and get out there. Like, I just don't get it. As a goalkeeper, why would you want that pressure coming from a different angle where they can take a shot? Not even a shot, but even like a better angle to cross it in. Mm. It was a class goal, I have to say. It was a class strike. I would look at the goalkeeper as well.
Of course you would. You're a goalkeeper.
Well, I'm very negative.
But that obviously puts them 4-2 ahead in the leg, and you're 3 minutes in. It's a big uphill task for PSG, but they do get themselves back into the game. And over the two legs, we spoke about Chuanga and how good she was.
Yeah,
over the two legs, you know, her goal to try and drag them back into it.
Oh, what a goal from her as well, by the way. What a strike. Like, the goalkeeper didn't even move. She just stood there and just kind of blew smoke. I was like, wow. Like, I think I thought she was going to clap her at one stage.
Oh, would you have clapped her?
I would have just been like, okay. Don't care what anyone says. Nobody's getting to that one. She just absolutely blasted it. I actually was quite impressed with PSG in this game. I thought,
you know what,
they dominated the possession areas.
But in terms of creating chances and having shots on goal, when you look at it, they had 60-40% possession, but they had 11 shots on goal and only 3 on target.
Yeah.
To Lyon 17 and 8 on target. So percentages will tell you that obviously Lyon were expected, that their expected goals were a lot higher. And they obviously scored the second goal late on, 81st minute. A player that you'd spoke about from the first leg, obviously got player of the match in the first leg. De Mornay, is that how you pronounce it?
Okay,
I got it right.
No, she's excellent.
Again, for me, it was
the De Mornay Chuanga game. It was to show for them. But I have to mention Kershawi.
Yeah.
I thought she was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Like, De Donk and her were having the best battle ever, and I actually think she came out on top. I thought she was just, I was like, can I change my five-a-side team? I want her in it.
We could do another five-a-side team for this.
She's in it. Get rid of the whole lot of them. I don't care. Just put her in it. I thought she was incredible. She was like, she was the player for PSG that was really getting out, and I thought her and Chuanga on that left side, they were just ridiculous. So that was really interesting. But
you know what's difficult?
Jamorna is
a good player, right?
Unbelievable.
But you know, like, this game for me was more exciting just because they know each other. So, like, they obviously play in the same league. They obviously know personnel as in player for player. They know that. So to come up with tactics or game plans over the two legs a week apart,
Yeah.
So difficult. But I think this was the most competitive semi-final over the two.
Absolutely.
It was the most exciting. Yeah. Like, probably one that people probably wouldn't have wanted to watch because they hear Chelsea, Barcelona. Everybody is drawn to that one.
Of course.
But over the two legs, I think that, again, look, we're going to mention, obviously, Lyon have moved into the final and they're going to play Barca. We just spoke about that 4-1 defeat back in 2019.
Yeah.
Barca are favourites in this final. Now, if they're watching this Lyon team, who have been impressive, score goals. They do concede, but they score goals.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hell of a final.
Well, do you know what? It's Ada Hegerberg said it the other day and I was listening and I'm like, wow, you're so like, you're so, not aggressive isn't the right word, but you're so adamant that you guys can beat them.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why. It's because they're considered the underdog and I don't think they like that tag. So she
What are they, 7 times Champions League winners?
Well,
they were like the dominant force.
I don't blame her because I was speaking to actually a Barca person. And they were saying like, she's saying this and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, and they were a little bit kind of annoyed about it. And then I was like, but why wouldn't she? They've beaten you every time.
Mm.
Like
yeah.
they, you have never beaten them.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't she think that they were going to win?
No, it's true.
But it's going to be an incredible final because we spoke about poking the bear. This game, and I know Lyon have beaten them 2 years ago as well, but it's the 2019 final that really hurts.
Mm.
And that game, that they absolutely wiped the floor with Barca. I was at that game and I was like, oh, holy moly. Jesus wept there. Like, just
I think that's the one everyone remembers.
Oh, I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. It could have been 6. Mm. It could have been 7, to be quite honest. And I was like, Jesus Christ, come out of the fog. Like, just get on the ball. So this is a game they talk about.
Yeah.
And it was actually the turning point for them. They say it's a turning point.
Yeah.
Like, literally from then on, they just kicked on and they realised, okay, we know what level we need to get at. And they have wanted Lyon ever since. And then they got beaten by them again.
Yeah, they did. They did. They did. But so look, the confirmed Women's Champions League final, 25th of May. You could say this stadium because it's in Bilbao. It's in Spain, guys. 25th of May.
Bilbao.
And it's Barcelona against Lyon. Yeah, but I was looking at the name of the
San Memes.
Bilbao Stadium in Spain. That's my best Spanish. But as you mentioned, it's obviously the third time meeting them. Barcelona have never beaten Lyon.
They've
lost twice. What can you expect from this Barca team that's different to the Barca team that faced them in previous years?
Well, they're...
Other than the fact that they've poked the big bear.
I don't know why Matt D is different. She's... no, but can we just have a little appreciation moment for Aitana Bonmati?
Oh, like, too good, right?
She's sick. She's just...
You know what made me laugh about her in the Chelsea game? I'm just
I know what you're going to say.
When she was walking off injured. Oh, no, and next minute she jogged
she's
over.
She's giving it big licks last week about how Chelsea were so dirty and time-wasting all this. And then she goes down and I'm like, this girl does not go down.
Don't
I'm saying
down,
this
yeah.
live on TV. She does not go down. She's injured. This is worrying. She's asking for a stretcher. She's like this coming off. I want a stretcher. And then she forgets to tap Alexia in. And she literally runs over. And I'm like, do you know what? I take it all back.
Take it back, yeah. You just made me look stupid live on air. But don't worry. And Tana Bonmati, it's fine.
I was sticking up for you, girl.
I know. She is the... Like, how much she's got... Like, she's
so
the difference
good.
Maker in that team.
She's so
like, out
good.
Of all of them, she's the one player... I know they've got individual balance with Hannah Hansen? What am I talking about? Graham Hansen. And they've obviously got... Paraleo? Is that how you pronounce it?
Paraleo,
there you go. They've obviously got... They've got an about, but Bonmati stands out for me above
absolutely.
All. There's not a player that compares to her. Like,
no.
She's so slight as well in stature. Like, she's, but in terms of
she's
how she sees the game,
she's machine.
She runs, dictates it physically, technically,
everything.
She's just like, yeah, we need an appreciation.
Everything.
So that one, in terms of midfield, will be an interesting one. Van der Donk will love that battle up against her in the final.
You know,
that will be an interesting battle. Yeah, she'll probably get sent off.
Yeah, like, this is what I wanted to mention actually about that game, the PSG Lyon. What I did notice about Lyon were they were very animated with the referee. Mm. They were very much in her face. They were doing this the whole time, which I don't like, actually. I don't like that.
What does that mean?
Meow. They're getting a bit catty. Well, they kept going up to the ref and I'm like, what are they? They're just whinging the whole time. And PSG weren't doing... like they
But you
were,
know what? That could potentially be a tactic in the final against Barcelona. Could you imagine that coming up against Barca? Because you know what, Barca, I mean, there was a couple of tackles in the Chelsea-Barca game. Barca players went down really easily. And it was like, get up, come on. But that could be a tactic for Leon.
Absolutely.
Stagger Barcelona's
100%
play.
It's going to be a tactic. But I just think, you know, looking at Leon, they're so powerful. Just looking, I keep going back to Ramirez. You know, I'm just going to sign Ramirez myself just so I can talk about all of them. But the way she hassled the back line, Jamorne is going to do that.
Oh, for sure.
So they're going to be very, very worried about her. Van de Donk is going to do that. Like, I think that aggression from Leon is going to really upset Barca. And you know what? Like, the players that still have to come into that team, like Ada Hegerberg.
I know, they've got some players to come back, haven't they?
I think, you know, Barca are definitely going to be a bit worried about them.
They will. And we will be previewing that show before the 25th of May and giving a little bit of tactical insight. Hopefully we're kind of try and guess the tactics of both teams. Emma, do some research before you get back on the show. And we'll do a little preview before that. Women's Champions League final. So we have some Pepsi Max Thirsty for More fans questions. Emma, I'm going to throw this one to you. Oh no, there's three actually. There's three questions. So we'll do this one and we can both do the first. You'll do the second, I'll do the third. Who was your player of the match for both of the second legs? I think we have to agree on Matty.
Yeah, okay. Let's go on Matty. Although I have to say, I really do think that Ellie Carpenter was excellent. I do think Kershawi was excellent. But let's go on Matty, yeah.
But Matty, and then the second, so for the Chelsea-Barcelona game, we're going on Matty. And yeah. For the Lyon-PSG, we're going
PSG,
Carpenter.
PSG-Lyon, let's go Carpenter, yeah.
Back from injury, you were saying, and starting to grow.
Very, very good.
So which young player has surprised you and shone the most in the competition?
Ooh, I'm going to go with that midfielder. Is it Gaupset for Brand?
For Brand, yeah. The number
she's,
16. She's I only so remember good. Her by a number.
Yeah, number 16. Gaupset. No, yeah. She was quality. I thought she was excellent. I'm really interested to see what happens over the summer if she gets a move. Yeah. I'd love to see her in the WSL.
That would be big. Yeah. That would be big. What's the one for Benfica as well? Because you have to give her a mention.
Kike Nazareth.
Yep.
She's
absolute
excellent.
Baller. I'd like to see him in WSL as well.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Only young.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. There's definitely going to be some. I've already heard that on the grapevine.
Okay, so Emma's got some insights.
There's some movement from Benfica to WSL.
Looking forward to that. And which players had the most impact? You know what? I have to say Erin Cuthbert over the Champions League. I just think, like, we spoke the other week, didn't we, about her being dead on her feet. I just think, like, in terms of the level she brings in all of the games, even against Ajax, the both legs against Barcelona.
The Champions League and I think in general.
I think without her in that Chelsea mid, they probably wouldn't have progressed where they did. I think
no,
she was phenomenal.
She's been excellent. Yeah,
Erin Cuthbert gets my shout out. Mate, take a good rest in the summer, Erin, because you deserve it. But that rounds up our Boots, Balls and Bras Women's UEFA Women's Champions League special supported by Pepsi Max. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.